Well, if you would, please take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. As you know, today is celebrated as Father's Day. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Here the church has instructed by the Apostle Paul to have children live in obedience to their parents and to obey and to honor their mother and their father, so that not only will the father and the mother be obeyed and honored, but that in doing the children will be blessed of the Lord. It is a commandment with a promise, which is the first commandment, the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. And special emphasis is given by the Holy Spirit, by revelation and apostolic authority, for fathers, that as they bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, not to do it in a provoking, irritating, challenging way. This special emphasis is because the father is normally the one to carry out the discipline of their child when they don't obey and honor their parents. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 is in the greater context of Christians exhorted to be filled with the Spirit, which began in chapter 5 there. In the next page over, you look, your eyes turn to the next page over. The Apostle Paul instructs the church at Ephesus, beginning in verse 15, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And Paul launches off in the context of what it's like to be filled with the Spirit. He tells them, be careful and wise, making the most of your time because of the evil all around them. Not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. And the Lord's will is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means by being filled with the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He uses alcohol as a contrasting example of its influence and contrasting nature and what it produces. An overindulging sinful behavior. He says, just like alcohol can control you and influence your behavior, be filled with the Spirit so He controls you and influences your behavior. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit with His power. And what follows in verse 18, as He instructs the church to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, is a picture of what a marriage would look like. In chapter 5, verses 21 to 23, husbands and wives loving each other, submitting to each other's God-given roles. And then he moves on from the marriage to children controlled by the Holy Spirit, obeying and honoring their parents, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. And then he talks about servants or employees working from their heart as to Christ in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 6. Then he talks about employers treating their workers without partiality, knowing that they have a master in heaven whom they serve. So the context of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, of children obeying and honoring their parents is in the greater context of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is what happens when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Husband love their wives, they submit to each other, they're allowed to give them their God-given roles. Children obey and honor their parents. Servants work as heartily as unto the Lord. Employers look at their servants and remember they are servants too of God in heaven. And this is what it looks like when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the context of that. When children do that, when they obey and honor their mother and father, they are given a promise of blessing there, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers are to discipline and instruct their children in the Lord because of the context by the controlling power and influence of the Holy Spirit. That's how they're to do it. That's the right way to do it. This is to be understanding and not foolish, as he started this context, chapter 5. This is what the will of the Lord is. Christian is to be functioning by the controlling agent of the Holy Spirit. Mothers and fathers will be obeyed by their children. They will be honored. They will be esteemed, respected, and admired by their children. And children will then be blessed by the divine providence of the Lord in their lives. Fathers will lovingly discipline for the good of their child and instruct them in the ways of the Lord, all being filled and influenced by the Holy Spirit. The children will sense that love and not be provoked to anger, and see their father as obeying the Lord as he gives them instruction, and why he is disciplining them in the first place. When he disciplines a child, he instructs them, this is why I'm disciplining you. This is what God says. Somebody filled with the Holy Spirit will do that, and they won't discipline their child out of anger. They'll discipline with love, explain to them why they're disciplining them. And the son or the child will see, or the daughter will see that love and realize that this is from the Lord. If he is controlled by the Holy Spirit, there will be love, right? There will be joy. There will be peace. There will be patience. There will be goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, because those are the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says. If a father is to discipline his child, he must do it as he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And if he's filled with the Holy Spirit, guess how that discipline instruction is going to come? With love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and kindness and self-control. I think the most obvious point I see here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, is the interaction between the father and his children because of the special emphasis given to the father after that command. A father loving his child and children honoring their father is at the heart of the Lord's instruction here. That's what at the heart of this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. A father loving his child and a child honoring their father is at the heart of what I just read to you. I think Father's Day is a good time for this instruction to be lived out by his children. Don't you think? I mean, we have this command here. Don't you think Father's Day is a good time for the children to live this out as they're instructed here? I think it's fitting that we have a day that reminds us to honor our father. It's fitting that we have a day. We have Mother's Day. We have a day that honors our mothers. I think it's fitting that we have a day that honors our father. You know, we celebrated Mother's Day for many years, way before they ever permanently instituted a National Father's Day. Do you know that it wasn't until 1972, after president tried to make it a national holiday and were shut down for various reasons, but finally it wasn't until 1972 Father's Day became a permanent national holiday in the United States. It wasn't that long ago. Since then, now the third Sunday in June is designated Father's Day, a day to honor fathers. And I'm thankful that Christians didn't have to wait to 1972 to honor their fathers. The Apostle Paul gives that instruction to the church right here. And what he gave here was not really new revelation. It was new revelation concerning how that was to be done by the controlling influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit to the New Testament church, as he brought up the whole subject of being filled with the Spirit. That didn't happen until after Pentecost. So this command that Paul quotes here in Ephesians chapter 6 was actually from Exodus chapter 20. From Exodus chapter 20, all the way back in the book of Exodus. And it is actually of the Ten Commandments. Children, honor your mother and your father, for this is a commandment with promise. The Lord gave that commandment to Moses on tablets of stone, recorded way back in Exodus chapter 20, that Paul is quoting here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul's letter here in Ephesians chapter 6 was circulated sometime around AD 60-62, way before 1972. So we didn't have to wait to 1972 to honor our mother and father, because this was written in 60-62. But the Lord gave this commandment for children to honor their fathers, like I said, way back in Exodus, which is within the 15th century B.C. 15th century B.C. So Paul's quoting a commandment that the Lord gave Moses for the children of Israel in the 15th century B.C. And then he wrote about it again in 62 A.D. And so we don't have to wait to 1972 to honor our mother and father. We have this revelation from the Lord that goes way back to 15th century B.C. Actually, when I looked at this and studied it, it can be traced all the way back to creation. It can be traced all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, stating that a man will leave his father and his mother and will cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, Genesis 2:24. All the way back in creation, the Lord has already made emphasis about a father there and children leaving their father and their mother and cleaving to their wife, becoming one flesh. What a day that would be. What a day that would be when a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves his wife and they become one flesh. That is a Father's Day. That is a Father's Day. But I want to remind you, there had to be a day when a man became a father. There had to be a day when a man became a father. That didn't happen until that man had a child to father. You can be married with no children, you're not a father, you're a husband. But when you have a child to father, now you are a father. And that happened one day to all fathers. A man becomes a father when he has a child. I can still remember my own first Father's Day. And what a day that was. What a day that was. My first daughter, Aubrey, was born. And that day I became a father with a child. One day, I went from a husband to becoming a father and a husband. One day. There are memorable days that come along and remind you that you are a father. Like when my second daughter, Christy, was born. I became a father of two daughters that day. What a day that was. What a day that was. When you become a father, your children become the joy of your life. And there seems to be many Father's Day that follow. Not so much the third Sunday in June, but when your child takes its first step, and when your child goes off on its first day of school, or when your child drives off in the car for the very first time on her own. A Father's Day comes when you walk your daughter down the aisle and give them away in marriage to the man they love. That's a Father's Day. Days I will never forget. Days like when they call you on the phone and they ask you your fatherly advice. And that word, dad, just seems to fill your heart with joy. A Father's Day is when you see the Lord bless your children with his saving grace. One of the greatest Father's Day was when my daughters confessed their sins and turned to the Lord for forgiveness. And the Lord God saved their souls. That's a Father's Day. That's a Father's Day I'll never forget. Actually, I think about it, every day is Father's Day. Every day is Father's Day. There's not a day that I'm not a father. I'm a father every day. And the more I thought about that I'm a father every day, and considered that reality, I began to think about my Heavenly Father. I began to think about our Father, who art in heaven, who is a Father every day. I thought about the day that I was graciously saved, and the Lord God became my Heavenly Father. And if Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 applies to children and their father, how much more it applies to me to obey and honor my heavenly Father and to receive his loving discipline and instruction so too I can be blessed. If Ephesians 6 is what it's like to be filled with the Spirit and to honor your mother and your father, how much more should we be filled with the Spirit and honor our heavenly Father and obey him? That it may be well with us and that we may be used by the Lord to live long upon the earth and glorify his holy and righteous name. That we would be careful and be wise, making good use of our time here on the earth, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, moved and influenced and controlled by his power, so that we too will honor and obey our Heavenly Father. That is a sure way to honor our Heavenly Father, to be filled with the Spirit, and to bring glory to his holy and righteous name. Days like today, days like Father's Day, cause me to think of God, my Father, when I received the Spirit of adoption as a son, by which I cried out, Abba, Father, to God, as Romans 8:15 says. I am his son by spiritual adoption. And if you're saved, you are his child by spiritual adoption, and he is your father, and you cry out to him, Abba, Father, as the scriptures say. Because Galatians 4:6 says, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When the Lord saved you, he sent his Spirit into your hearts, and you in turn cried out, Abba, Father. That's that Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of his Son. Saved by his grace, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, brought me to the day when I became a child of God, my Father. But you know what? Before I became a child of God the Father, my Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father was already the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before you became his child, before I became his child, before we received that Spirit of adoption, we cried out, Abba, Father. He was already a father. He was already the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3, if you turn back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter, the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, we are to bless, in verse 3, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's what Ephesians 1:3 says. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and begins his epistle with that fact, that we are to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And he goes on to say in verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined to, watch this, adopt us as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Of his will. The whole thing of our adoption as sons, the whole thing of God becoming your heavenly Father, started back before the foundation of the world. Started back before the foundation of the world. Before creation, this whole thing started before the foundation of the world in Christ, when God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit decreed in eternity past our salvation and adoption as sons. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And so, what was decreed in eternity past was to be filled in time. What was decreed in eternity past was to be fulfilled in time. And we have a record of how it began. We have a record of how it began. When there was not a day, God made a day. When there was not a day, when there was only eternity and there was no time God made time and he made a day, according to Genesis 1, 1 through 5. And God said, let there be light. And the evening and morning was the first day, Genesis 1, 1 through 5 says. That's a Father's Day. That's a Father's Day. When the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit get together and they make a day. What was decreed? His Son, the pre-incarnate Son, Jesus, the eternal Son, spoke into existence when there was nothing, ex nihilo. Spoke into existence. And when he spoke, it came to be, all accomplished by the Holy Spirit. That was a day the Father and the Son will never forget, when there was the first day. And the record says it was a good day. It was a good day. There was another memorable Father's Day, when the Father said to the Son and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, in Genesis 1:26. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them, Genesis 1:27 says. That was the sixth day of creation, as you read there in verse 31 of chapter 1. What a Father's Day that was. What a Father's Day that was. The Father was already a father. He already was the Father of the eternal Son. And now he created two human beings that now will become his children. And so now he was a father to more than just his eternal Son. He was a father to Adam and Eve. What a Father's Day that was. That happened in a day, on the sixth day. But as you know, they rebelled. Chapter 3 says, the Lord God sent them out and drove them out of the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3, verse 30, 23 and 24 says, what a sad Father's Day that was, when he had to discipline his children and drive them out of his presence. They did not obey and honor him as Father. So it was not well with them, and they did not live long upon the face of the earth as God intended. I think about all those days our Heavenly Father experienced because of sin and rebellion. You don't get too much further into Genesis, you get to chapter 6, and it records the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And so, as Paul said in Ephesians 1, if you're still there, this blessing in heavenly places in Christ, this choosing of us in him before the foundation of the world, this predestination of us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, it says there, according to the kind intention of his will. And then in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. And here's the key verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. It was in his Son, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. This too was decreed in eternity past. This too was decreed in eternity past. The blood of his Son, the redemption of your souls, the adoption of you as sons, the choosing of you was all done in eternity past, but had to be fulfilled in time. The Apostle Paul tells us that we were redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. 1 Peter 1:19 and 20. Yes, we were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as an unblemished and spotless lamb. And this was all foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he appeared at a certain time for you. Why? because the Father decreed your salvation, your adoption, your choosing before the foundation of the world. Now, although Adam and Eve's posterity were imputed sinners and imparted a depraved, spiritually dead sin nature, although that happened, that was true, the eternal decree to adopt sinners as son still stood. And it must take place through the substitute sacrifice of his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when the fullness of time came, God the Father sent forth his son from heaven, born of a woman. Galatians 4:4 says. So the eternal son would become incarnate humanity. Deity would be veiled in flesh. The Word, who was God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Speaking about creation, John puts it in John chapter 1. The Word was God, the eternal Son, the second person, the triune Godhead, became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, 3 and 14 says, what a Father's Day that was. What a Father's Day that was. The angels announced it. For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What a Father's Day that was when the pre-incarnate Son became incarnate and was born in Bethlehem. What a Father's Day that was, Luke 2:11 tells us. When our Savior was born for our Heavenly Father. The birth of my children is a reminder of what my Heavenly Father experienced that day. Can you imagine the joy of the Heavenly Father when his son was born in Bethlehem and took on flesh, human flesh? When I think about my daughter's birth, it just reminds me of the joy that the Heavenly Father had when Jesus Christ was born. The perfect, sinless Son of God would be the example to all God's adopted children of what it is to obey and honor your Father. The Father would look down from heaven one day and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What a Father's Day that was when the Father could say that of his Son. Jesus even said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10:15, speaking of those whom Christ would die for. What a Father's Day that must have been. Can only imagine. You know, we have a Heavenly Father, and he experiences days too. What a Father's Day must have been when they came to arrest the Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane. After Jesus prayed to his Father concerning his death, and augmented and ended his prayers saying, yet not my will, Father, but your will be done. Matthew 26:39. When they came to arrest Jesus, he told them, I can appeal to my Father, don't you know? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels, Matthew 26:53 says. If I could just ask my Father, he would take care of all this. But that's not his will, and I've come to do his will. I've come to obey and honor him. He said, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That must happen this way. If I call angels, then the scriptures won't be fulfilled. The Father's eternal decree won't be fulfilled. If I don't go to the cross and I don't die for sinners, if I don't redeem them with my blood, they cannot be saved, and they cannot be adopted, and the whole thing of election would fall. What a Father's Day that was when they both allowed sinners to arrest the innocent Son of God and to treat him so cruelly, to beat him, spit on him, rip the beard from his face, and whip him mercilessly that day. What a Father's Day that was. That was a day in our Father's life too. What heartache the Father had the day his Son was crucified, when he had to turn his back on his Son that day, as he became the sin bearer for his people, the sheep, the church, the many, the all who would ever believe. What a day that was when his son, suspended on a cross between heaven and earth, and the father had to turn his back on his son. And when the son would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Christ was our sin bearer. He turned his back on Christ because he treated him as if he was a sinner like us. Matthew 27:46 says, that happened that day. Here was the eternal incarnate Son of God, sacrificing himself in the sinner's place to pay for their sins, taking the Father's wrath in their place. What a day that was. I think about that Father's Day when I think about my Heavenly Father and what he had experienced as he looked upon the life of his son and death of his son. When his son humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:8 tells us. The Lord was obedient. He was obedient. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What do you mean obedient? This was the Father's will. This is what the Father commanded. This was the decree. This was the plan of salvation for your salvation and your adoption. And so he had to become obedient to death, even the death of a cross. You know what? He obeyed his father that day, didn't he? He honored his father that day. This was his father's will, to redeem us and to save us so as to adopt us as sons. And the son, his son, had to be obedient to the point of death for that to happen. This was the father's will, to save us and call us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted in Christ from all eternity. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, this was the Father's will. From all eternity, his purpose and grace was to place us in Christ, not according to our works, but according to his purpose of grace, he would save us and call us with a holy calling. And he could only do that because his son became obedient, even to the point of death, a death of a cross. What a day that was. What a day that was when the son obeyed and honored his father that day. There was another day in the life of our Heavenly Father when on the first day of the week, the Bible says, one Sunday morning, his son would rise from the dead. What a Father's Day that was. When his son, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 11:2 says. The angel announced, he's not here, for he has risen, just as he said, Matthew 28:6. Because the son obeyed the father, and the father was pleasing with the sacrifice the son made. He raised him for our justification, the Bible says. The Father also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11 says. What a Father's Day that was when the Father exalted his son and said, sit down at my own right hand. And when finally his son would come back to heaven from whence he left to redeem sinners. Can you imagine the joy that day when the father experienced when his son, Jesus, ascended from the earth and returned back into glory? That happened one day. Come on home, son. What a Father's Day that was. The Apostle John records that Jesus said, I ascend to my Father and to your Father. John 20:17. This was the fulfillment of Jesus' request to his Father. He prayed, I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John 17:4-5. What a Father's Day when his son came home to glory. What a Father's Day. He finished the Father's will, and he honored and obeyed his Father, like we're supposed to do. Today is Father's Day. Children, obey and honor your Father. Not only your earthly Father, but most importantly, your Heavenly Father. Every day is Father's Day to a Christian because we have a Heavenly Father. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, is your example of how to obey and honor your Father. And may this be the great Father's Day to him as you live for his glory. And one day, you too will go home to glory and see your Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's pray. We can truly say, based upon the authority of your word and the witness of the Holy Spirit within us, we can truly bow our heads and pray as our Savior taught us, our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. You are holy, and you have saved us by your grace. You have adopted us as sons, and now we're your children, and you are our Heavenly Father. And every day is a Father's Day to us. Every day we can wake up and experience our Father's new mercies every day. Every day we can talk with you, Father, and pour our hearts out to you and receive your instruction and your loving discipline. Every day, Lord, what a blessing it is to be your children and to walk in truth. I pray that today would be a reminder of what you have done for us, what you have decreed before the foundation of the world, and the cost of our salvation, and all that you had to experience with your own Son just so that we could be saved. Oh, Father, how gracious and loving you are. What manner of love you have bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, and yet we are. Thank you for such a blessing. It's because of that very reason we came here this morning to worship you, to honor you, to sing praises to your holy and righteous name, to exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, and that you may be glorified. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to honor it, proclaim it, and defend it. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. What a privilege that is, an opportunity it is, to take the word of God and proclaim it, proclaim the whole counsel of God without shame. And I'm thankful that the Lord God has been pleased to call men and gift them and instill in them this overriding desire to proclaim his word and defend it. This week I had the blessed privilege with Alan and Wally and Bruce and Daniel's dad to sit and talk to Daniel, question his life, question his call, question his Bible knowledge, question his love for the Lord and love for God's word and his people. And we come to the conclusion that God had called Daniel into the gospel ministry, that he has gifted him. Daniel's been a faithful servant of this Lord. This church is a very young church. You know, we've only been a little over 3 years. The Lord is building his church here. He's growing it. And he's doing like the word of God says. He's bringing up men from within the church to be faithful servants of the Lord. And so we ordained Daniel last Thursday. What we want to do is put our hands on him. We pray for him. But what I want to do is do that formally in front of the church. And so I'm going to ask Daniel to come here for just a minute. And if Bruce and Alan and Wally can make their way to the front and put your hands on Daniel, we want to present him as a church. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your special call to certain individuals to be trumpeters of the truth and trophies of grace for the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for the good of the church and for your glory and the exaltation of your Son. I pray for Daniel that he would honor your word, that he would not compromise it, that he would be able to teach sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. I pray, Father, that you would gift him with spiritual graces, that he would not only meet the biblical qualifications of an elder, but he would maintain them. Help him, Father, to stay above reproach. Help him to pastor his own family, which is a proving grounds to pastoring a church. Help him, Lord, to be disciplined and to study to show himself approved unto you, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Help him, Father, now to be a minister to the gospel, a minister your word to your people, and to be a bright and shining light for you. We thank you for Daniel. We thank you for the opportunity to affirm him. We ask your blessings upon him and use him for your glory as only you can, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.